when he's the real culprit. He's the real reason why. He's the father of lies. He introduced all these challenges. He is the source of the problem. And yet, what do? We say, God, you did this. No, he didn't. Satan, you caused this. Start pointing in the right direction. And why I believe that's important is simply this. If we don't start putting things in the right perspective and we spend every moment blaming God for anything and everything difficult that happens to us, we're going to, number one, be mistaken, and number two, we're going to miss out on the perfecting that he's offering me. Satan, you did this, but I'm going to look to God because he'll strengthen me through it. You can do all kinds of things, and you've got influence and power that is difficult and challenging, but I'm putting all that on you. I'm going to trust in God. Lord, remind me daily that I trust you. He I don't trust. Lord, remind me daily, you strengthen me. He's against me. I've never understood why it is we buy into his products. I never understood why it is that we accept the things that Satan is offering. He offers nothing but death and sorrow and sadness and heartache. And we buy into it all day long. When the Lord says, I offer you renewal and spirit and life and that which is good, I'm imploring you this morning, will you accept the benefits and blessings of God? And don't blame him. He's not to blame for sadness and sorrow and death. That would be Satan. Our God is a God of revival. But some revival not only comes from God in that fashion, but sometimes revival also comes from within. I've got a part in this. Sometimes we expect God to just kind of create in us in some kind of miraculous way these things, and we forget I've got a responsibility here. I want you to notice with me over in Romans chapter 12, what I believe to be an extremely important passage of Scripture when it comes to trying to grasp and understand the need for change and walking away from the world. In Romans chapter 12 in verse 1, he said, I beseech you. Just mark it down. Personal study note, by the way. Anytime you see the word I beseech or I urge, what he's saying is there's a problem with folks ignoring what I'm about to say. You know, generally, I don't walk up to my children and say, I urge you to eat this pizza. Right? I don't have to, in fact, I don't have to say anything. Right? All I got to do is lay it down and pull my fingers away. Right? There's no urging necessary because they're readily accepting that. When the Bible uses a word like I urge or I beseech, then there's a likelihood that I'm going to be disinterested in what he's about to say. I urge them to eat vegetables and fruit, right? That I urge because they're resistant. God says you may be resistant to what I'm about to say, so I'm urging you to listen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It is a reasonable expectation for God to say to me, Brian, I want you to sacrifice yourself on my behalf. You might say, wow, sacrifice? Yeah. And he says it's absolutely reasonable for him to ask me to be sacrificial. But I want you to know something. He said that we are a living sacrifice. I heard one fellow illustrate this one time. Do you know the difference between a living and a dead sacrifice? The difference between a living and a dead sacrifice is a living one can choose to crawl off the altar. See, a dead sacrifice, the knife comes out, you slay the animal, it is dead, it's done, right? It has become a sacrifice. There's nothing it can do about it. There's nothing it can change about it. It is dead and gone. It's been sacrificed. But God says, I challenge you to be living sacrifices. I challenge you to get on the altar of sacrifice daily by choice. That's the difference. Dead sacrifices didn't have any choice in the matter. They didn't have any decision in the matter. They were chosen out of the herds or the flocks, and they were slain and offered before God. He says the difference between Old Testament sacrifices of bulls and goats, which have been nailed to the cross and done away with, he said the new sacrifice that I'm looking for is personal. I don't want a bull on the sacrifice altar anymore. I want you on the altar. That's what God says. I want you to be the living sacrifice. And it's perfectly reasonable for God to expect that. Why do you say it's perfectly reasonable? Who was Jesus? Jesus was God made manifest in the flesh, right? John chapter 1. Jesus was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself in the likeness of men. Who went to the cross? That wasn't just a man that went to the cross. That was the Son of God. That was deity. That was God the Son who went and sacrificed himself. So do not think it unreasonable for him to then turn around and say, I don't want you to have to be slain to sacrifice. I want you to be a living sacrifice. Well, how do I do that? Well, first he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to the world. One translation, very modern one that I wouldn't use for other purposes, but it said, do not be squeezed into the world's mold. And I'm not talking about the green stuff that grows. I'm talking about a mold where you'd shape like a jello mold, or if you work in metals, my father-in-law was a foundryman. Do not be squeezed into the world's mold. The world wants you to look, act, talk, think a certain way. And if you don't think that's true, just watch advertising for a while and you'll figure it out. That it doesn't take us long to figure out the world wants us to be shaped and molded and formed in a certain way. And so God says, I don't want you that way, so I need you to not be conformed. We're very much conformists, and it's hard to get away from it sometimes. Quick illustration. You ever notice that at fireworks displays that some fireworks are oohs and some fireworks are ahs? You ever done that? You go to fireworks sometimes. Big red one goes up, and a whole crowd. No script. No, nobody gives you